Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Dubin and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. I have a message from Beauclair to you.
Love. I absolutely adore David Beauclair.
Everybody does. He wanted me to make sure to tell you not to piss him off. You know what'll happen.
We'll do a Beauclair story, but what he did to Mike Vrabel a couple years ago at camp was one of the greatest stories of all time. And you take me tell it?
Sure.
So they come out and Vrabel, you know, you got the media saying, you know, the guys who fall in line like the Rex Rhodes of the world who sit up there and fall in line and just, you know, guffaw over whatever Vrabel says and blink their eyes like he's Elvis and they're little schoolgirls. So Vrabel comes out and is talking to the media and they're all in front of him. I'm running the camera, I'm in the back, but Beauclair's off to the side. I mean, right to Vrabel's to the right. And so he's asking questions, and it's irritating. I mean, it's irritating Vrabel. And Vrabel says, hey, why don't you go stand over here? And Vrabel's basically, Beauclair's like, no. You know, you don't have to look at me and answer the question. Just answer the question. And Vrabel starts looking around for Robbie, who's the PR guy. Like Robbie, and Beauclair's like, I'm not moving. I'm asking a question. You can answer it to everybody else. And it just irritated Vrabel so much that the rest of the press conference was just full of this drama and this air of like, oh my goodness. And there's Beauclair to the side, just basically answer my question. You know, I am not going to conform to whatever you say.
He's got the match in his mouth.
So David Beauclair is an absolute old school legend. Reporter who doesn't fall in line like 90% of the other Titans media that stands around out there and bats their eyes at Vrabel.
Oh, you're going to get Titans media fired up.
Love it.
Karski situation coming up.
Fine. I don't mind at all. But I love Beauclair. He's the greatest, man.
Coming up at 7:30, we'll talk to David Beauclair. So I'm interested, Joe, to get your thoughts on this because it's hard to believe. Training camp just a few weeks away now. End of July right around the corner, and then preseason football will be here. Before we know it, you've got the defending champs and the Rams. Obviously, Titans fans very familiar with the Bengals last year and what they were able to do. As you look around the league, what, I guess, intrigues you the most about this NFL season coming up? I mean, Brady's back. There's a whole lot of movement this offseason. There's a ton of ways you can go with this. But what are a couple of things that really intrigue you the most about this NFL season coming up?
You know, there's a lot of things. I think let's start with that crybaby Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. What's the receiver went to the Raiders?
Davante Adams,
yeah. Yeah, so, you know, he was on before the show started, and he was on Pat McAfee's show and talked about the growing pains you're going to have this year. I think it's interesting to see that because Matt LaFleur walked into a situation, and people are like, wow, Matt LaFleur is such a great coach. No, he walked into a situation that was already built to win with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers. It's interesting to see if that goes south a little bit, how Aaron Rodgers reacts to that, because he lost the receiver. He talked about their defense being good. I think that's an angle to me to watch what the Packers do. Look, whether you love them or hate them, the Cowboys always drive the narrative in the National Football League. So could this be the year for Dak to get out there? I mean, he was – for San Francisco to come in there and beat them the way they did in the playoffs, that should have never happened. So that's always something you look at. But I think, to me – because it was here, then he's gone. The A.J. Brown situation in Philadelphia.
Yep.
I mean, can he make it through 17 games? No. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, Philadelphia put a lot of money for him to go up there and play. So, to me, that to me is the most interesting situation because I like a lot of Titans fans went from one day like, don't you dare trade A.J. Brown to the very next day, get out of here, you bum. We don't want you around here anyway. So, to me, that's kind of the intriguing things. And then – you look at Buffalo. Is this the year they do it? Is this the year they put it together and go win a Super Bowl? And there are so many Bills fans that are out there to see what's going on. I think that as well. And I know Brady coming back, and there's a lot of rumblings in Tampa about him and Bruce Arians and all that goes on there, and he lost Gronk. So there's a lot of good storylines heading into this year.
There's a whole lot. And, you know, the Eagles one is interesting to me because, I mean, obviously here locally – we're going to be following A.J. Brown and what he does and the numbers that he puts up. I mean, look, I mean, there's going to be a whole lot fair or unfair. There's going to be a whole lot of Treylon Burks / A.J. Brown comparison going on this year. Now, you know, when A.J.'s on the field, I think we know what he is. He's a pretty darn good player. And, it's going to be difficult for Treylon Burks to live up to that this year. But I am interested. Like, A.J. Brown's getting paid a whole lot of money now. You need to be available. And can he make it through a 17-game season? You know, maybe he doesn't play in all 17, but you know, if he plays in 15, you probably sign up for that right now.
Sure.
If you're the Eagles.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can do that. We'll see what happens on that front. But the Eagles, like, you've got Jalen Hurts. You've got Devontae Smith, who was the Heisman winner in Alabama that you drafted a couple years ago. Now A.J. Brown in there as well. I mean, they got a lot of talent on that roster. I still question, though, like, you know, Jalen Hurts, is he good enough to really maximize what they've got at wide receiver? I don't know.
He doesn't scare me. I mean, I want a quarterback that's going to scare me, and I don't think he's one that does that. But, you know, he got his buddy up there and A.J. Brown. We'll see what happens. But, you know, you go out the gate 0-2 and 0-3. And you know, Eagles fans are so nice, so they're going to be they're going to be very patient,
real peachy up there.
They're going to be patient. So process that goes out there and happens. But you look at the Las Vegas Raiders when they got the guy Josh McDaniel from New England to be the coach out there, and you got David Carr, who's now with a an offensive minded coach who's there with you with not a lot of drama. No, Gruden was bounced, but they're not a bad team. But also, you look at Mahomes. I think they kind of got the blueprint for Mahomes last year of just going at him. Just going at him and making him nervous in the pocket and get him scrambling. And he threw some real awful passes last year. And I know they ended up beating the Bills in the play. And I get all that happened. But that's another thing, to see if he can keep that sustainability up for another season as teams more and more try to figure him out. But you look at this, Robbie. I mean, they're maybe right now in July, six, maybe seven teams that have a shot to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. You go down the line. You know, Arizona Cardinals ain't winning the Super Bowl. Seattle's not. Saints aren't. Panthers aren't. Falcons aren't. NFC North, Green Bay might stand a chance because of Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe, but they don't have a wide receiver at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem.
It's like Titans North up there. The NFC East, maybe Dallas strikes and does good. I mean, then you go on and on. There's not that many teams who win the Super Bowl, who right now could win the Super Bowl. There's like six or seven of them, and the other ones are just kind of standing around.
Yeah, I mean, the Kansas City thing is interesting to me because Tyreek Hill's gone. And you know, I mean, he's down there with Tua in Miami, and they're chumming it up down there. Apparently, he really loves Tua down there. He's been pretty vocal about it. And
what's that kitchen tweet he had? Like, we're going to be so tight that I'm going to be in his kitchen making breakfast when he wakes up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, okay, Tyreek, whatever. Like, it's almost been like borderline unnecessary with the praise that he's had to it. Like, if some people are reading it as him taking a shot at Mahomes. But, I mean, look, Tyreek Hill, whether you want to call him the best wide receiver in the league, I wouldn't go that far, but I think he's certainly probably the most explosive wide receiver in the league. That's a big part of Kansas City and their offense. Now that you don't have him, how much different does Mahomes and that offense look without a guy like that?
You know, I'm looking at all 32 teams right now. How many head coaches can you name of NFL teams? Do you think you could?
I don't know.
You're pretty savant at your – who's the head coach of the Bills?
Brian Daboll. No, why did I say he's Giants? Sean McDermott.
All right. Miami.
Who's Brian Daboll. He's a Giants.
Who's the coach at Miami?
Mike McDaniel.
Is it?
Only reason I know him is because he looks like a high school chemist teacher. Like
he does.
It's unbelievable.
He came over for the 49ers, correct? The Jets.
Robert Saleh.
Look at you, man. All right. We know the Bengals coach. What's his name?
What is his name? Zach. Why am I blanking on his last name?
Curtis.
Right now? It's Zach Curtis. That's definitely it. Why am I blanking on the Bengals coach's name?
I don't know. Who's Sirianni? Is that the Eagles coach?
Oh, yeah.
I used to be able to rattle these off with no problem. I think who's the Texans coach? I know Coley got bounced last year. Who's their coach now down there? Look at you. Oh, you got it. Come on.
I know I've got it. I can see his face and his beard right in front. It's Lovie Smith, isn't it?
Is it? Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll take that. Who else? Let's see. Denver's head coach.
Who is Denver's coach?
It's Packers offensive
Nathaniel Hackett.
That a boy. A few more real quick here. Chargers head coach.
Brandon Staley.
Gosh. Yeah. He's got that had cancer too, right?
I can't remember if he did or not.
He did. I think he did at some point, and he beat it. Cardinals coach?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay, you got that one good. I like this game with you. Let's see. Saints new head coach?
Dennis Allen.
Look at you, man. Yeah. Bears. The Bears.
They just hired him. What's his name? Eberflus? Matt Eberflus? Yeah.
This is great.
That'll go well.
This is fantastic. All right, Vikings head coach.
They just fired Zimmer. Who did they hire? I can't remember who they hired.
Did you figure out the Bengals coach yet? Zach?
Is it Zach Taylor?
Zach Taylor, is that it?
I think so. Yeah, Zach Taylor.
Eagles coach. Oh, we got to Sirianni.
Oh, man, I'll never forget Sirianni.
That's great, fantastic for you, man. Yeah,
we'll see.
I'd have gotten maybe half of those. And back in the day, you could name all 32 and the coaches before and after them and everything. But well done, Robbie.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I can't believe I forgot Zach Taylor's name. It's going to bother me the rest of the day.
But in your pantheon of Zachs,
yeah,
he's probably second. There's another Zach that's number one.
There's a lot of Zachs out there. We'll continue the conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio.
How dare you talk over Steve Perry? How dare you?
It really is disrespectful of me. We could just let it go.
We could.
Maybe the rest of the segment.
Yeah, the rest of the show, the journey hour with the real band that happens, right. That goes on. So I'll forgive this one problem for talking over Steve Perry now.
That's fine. I appreciate it. Speaking of bands, I got some tickets to give away to see Styx and REO Speedwagon with Loverboy coming up at Ascend Amphitheater on Monday, August 8th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Styx and REO Speedwagon coming up with Loverboy at Ascend Amphitheater on Monday, August 8th. 615-737-1025.
Can I call in for that? Because I would love to see that show.
Who wouldn't?
I saw Loverboy Ryman back in 2018 with Nelson, but Loverboy put on an amazing show, and they sounded fantastic. And yeah, Mike Reno's put on a few pounds, haven't we all?
Yeah.
But they still sounded great, man.
I saw Styx after, I probably said this already, but I saw Styx after a Milwaukee Admirals hockey game a few years ago. I was sitting on the bench on the ice watching them play in the post game. It was amazing.
Where did they set the stage up?
They set it up like the game was over, and then they brought a stage out there on the ice.
Did they really?
It was like you had to wait like 30, 35 minutes after the game. But
right.
After that, Styx was ready to go, man. They went for like 3 hours. It was awesome.
So you got out like at 1 in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was amazing.
Do you remember what song they started with? Too much time on my hands.
I think that's exactly what song they started with now that I think about it. Yeah.
Nice. You know, it's funny you talk about that. I saw a time lapse one time. I've never been there to the Staples Center.
Uh-huh.
And the Kings had a game like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Lakers were playing at 7 that night. And they were able to get the ice off, everything done, and put the basketball floor up.
It's incredible.
In like no time at all. I'm like, how in the world do you do that? And they do the same thing down at Bridgestone when they get the ice out and the concert's got to come in, you know, and there's like maybe 12 hours difference. It looked like 15 minutes to get the ice out of here and put a basketball court down.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
They played games in the same day at like Staples Center, Madison Square Garden.
I don't understand
how they're able to do that.
That's amazing to get that quick of a turnaround.
So, Joe, I want to get your thoughts on the Colts, because if you look at the sports books right now, I was looking at FanDuel last night. The Colts are the favorite in the AFC South. Obviously, A.J. Brown's out for the Titans. Matt Ryan is in at quarterback for the Colts. I've been pretty vocal about this. Like, you know, is Matt Ryan an upgrade in some capacity from Carson Wentz? Yeah, I think he's a much better leader. I think you know what you're getting from Matt Ryan in terms of his professionalism. He's going to make the right play. There's not a defense that's out there that Matt Ryan hasn't seen. So you like a lot of that he brings to the table. Matt Ryan also hasn't really been that good the last couple of years, albeit with Atlanta, not a very good team, not a very good offensive line. So the situation is different. But I don't know that I would say the Colts are maybe as big of a favorite as some are making them out to be. How do you view the Colts? Do you agree or disagree with my take on Matt Ryan? What do you think of what they've done and how they've set themselves up?
When you look at Matt Ryan, I mean, after that devastating, crushing Super Bowl loss in 2016. I know it's 6 years ago, but I just, how are you the same after that? You know, and so you look at what he's done in Atlanta after that, and this kind of went straight down, basically. And the Falcons teams weren't good, but you look at quarterbacks, I mean, it's going to go all one way of doing fantastic, or it's going to be a complete disaster with him up there. And I don't get the love from everybody else about this team as well, but, you know, they look at it, and Jonathan Taylor's a good running back. They got a decent offensive line. Nobody cares about the offensive line when you look at it from the overall view of things. But, you know, they went down to play Jacksonville. I know it's last year, just to win against the play, and they lost that game against a terrible team. Now you rebuild with Matt Ryan coming in there.
And by the way, everybody puts that on Carson Wentz, and he wasn't good in that game, but he got sacked like 8 times.
Yes.
they got all over it.
And that's a must win. So how do you not get fired up for that game to go play? But, you know, the Colts still got a decent defense, but the games will come down to if the Titans can beat those, win those games against the Colts, and give that two-game cushion within the division. I mean, look at the game they played last year up there, and unfortunately Derrick Henry broke his foot, but Titans still rallied to win that game. When the Colts had that game in the bag, and they dropped it, until the Colts can beat the Titans consistently in these last couple of years, I know since Andrew Luck's been gone, I'm not going to buy into it. I mean, Stephen Gilmore, they signed. He's getting older up there, and it's happening, but Titans don't count any great receivers currently to go at them, but that'll be. Plus, the AFC South has always been hot garbage for 20 years now. I mean, it's been the Texans, when they get to the playoffs, we get bounced in the first round. Jacksonville, you know what they did. But it's always come down between the Colts and the Titans, and that's a two. So if you're a Titans fan, you just got to beat the Colts and win those other games against other teams in the division, hopefully. But it's the Colts games. I just don't buy into how great they think they are and with Matt Ryan. But again, it's going to go either one way with Matt Ryan. He's going to be simply fantastic. Worst thing Titans fans want right now is to hear Matt Ryan being up for comeback player of the year, right?
Yeah.
He gets traded as a fantastic season, what's happening. Or it goes the other way where this team is just really, really bad. So I can see where there's some love for those outside with the Colts, but overall, I'm not impressed, man.
I'm not. I mean, look, I think they've got a good roster. Not a great roster, but I think they've got a good roster. I think Matt Ryan has the chance to be a good quarterback. I just, like Carson Wentz, everybody has this narrative of Carson Wentz, and I understand it. He threw some interceptions last year. I mean, heck, he threw an interception against the Titans. Two of them that were brutal in that game that you were talking about last year. So there is the Carson Wentz death pick that's you're subject to at any time. But, I mean, listen to these stats last year. 62% completion, 3,500 yards, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Like, his numbers were pretty good last year. And I know it's more than just the numbers that you have to factor in. But I think there's a chance that Matt Ryan comes in and plays about to the same level as Carson Wentz. And if that's the case, what does that mean for the Colts? How much better are they really going to be?
Where's Carson Wentz now?
Washington Commanders.
Oh, my goodness.
God bless him.
Yeah, exactly. Colts' first two games to start the season, at Houston, at Jacksonville.
That's a pretty good start.
If you're not 2-0 then, I would just cancel the rest of your season. Then they got home versus Kansas. So the first four games, at Houston, at Jacksonville, home Kansas City, home Titans.
Yep. So you better win those first two because those next two get pretty tough quickly. I mean, look, the Texans and the Jags, I'll say this, they're not going to make the playoffs or anything like that next year. It's going to be difficult, I think, for them to be as bad as they were last year. Like, the Jags will probably win 2 to 3 more games just based simply on the fact that Urban Meyer's not there and is the coach. Like, it's addition by subtraction at that point with Doug Peterson coming in. So, you know, look, you know, they were 3-14 last year. The Texans were 4-13. They got a long way to go before they're going to be competitive in the AFC South. I think it's pretty clear the Titans and the Colts racing for the division. But, you know, the Jags snuck up and got the Colts last year. The Texans snuck up and got the Titans once last year. I mean, those are not games that traditionally in the past, just based on recent history, you can just mark down as wins if you're the Titans or the Colts.
Yeah, and the Titans and Colts played 2 times in the first 7 weeks of the season. Yep. The last one being October 23rd. So it's 3 weeks between their first game and the next game.
Which I hate that, by the way.
I do, too. I think the last 2 games of the regular season should be in division. So yep. The last game of the year for the Colts is – the Texans come to town. How nice. So I guess that means Jacksonville, we play the Titans for that last game of the year. You know, it's virtually the same schedule with the Colts and the Titans because the division plays the other division, and it happens every year, and it just rotates the divisions. But two games in those 3 weeks could make the season for either team.
No question about it. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the PGA Tour on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet the tour with a no-sweat first bet. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in free bets. Scottie Scheffler having a great year on tour. Rory McIlroy playing really well right now as well. Those are the two that I'd probably go with, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Rob to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real winning wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin. Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, how are you? What's going on?
Robert, I'm good. How are you today?
We're great. We kept the show on the rails for the most part so far with Dubin on the program, which you know how difficult that is to do.
I am concerned about this next segment, but if we got to do it, we got to do it, I guess. All right.
I was just telling the great staff here how much that you are the legend when it comes to journalism in Nashville, Tennessee, that you are at the top. In my mind, you're at the top.
You know, that would mean something, but you love everyone, Joe. Nope. I mean, I follow you on Facebook. Everything's great. So, I mean, while I appreciate that, I just feel like I'm one of many in your world there.
I have been around
a while.
I'm not a Mike Organ fan, so there's one that's
there is that. That's true. You're right. I apologize.
Oh, great stuff. So, David, we talked on the show Friday a lot about the Burke situation, obviously the offensive line as well. I think everybody would probably identify those two areas as areas that you're watching heading into training camp. Outside of those two, what really sticks out to you in terms of what you'll be paying attention to on this team as training camp a few weeks away now?
You know, the other big question mark is the cornerback spot, right? I think all eyes are going to be on Caleb Farley. And can Caleb Farley be a guy who understands his role and understands the defense and understands route combinations and combination coverages and all those sorts of things, or does he look lost out there? Is the guy he's covering getting wide open, you know, every five or six plays or whatnot? This is a guy who's not played a lot of football since high school. Didn't go to college as a cornerback. Changed while he was there. Has been hurt a bunch. Missed a ton of time last year. So I think athletically, there's no questions about the gifts this guy has. It's a question of can he stay healthy and does he know enough? Has he seen enough to play the position on an every down basis? And then the depth at wide receiver is really interesting to me. I think regardless of what he can or can't do, Treylon Burks is going to be on the roster, right? Regardless of whether he's 90% healthy, 100% healthy, Robert Woods is going to be on the roster. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is a no-brainer, and Kyle Phillips, I think, is a no-brainer. But beyond that, you know, how does that group shape up? You've got a Mason Kinsey and a Cody Hollister who have been practice squad guys for multiple years now. You have two draft picks from last year in Racy McMath and Dez Fitzpatrick who haven't shown as much as you would like yet. You know, have they taken a big step forward? You've got a local guy everybody knows, Josh Malone, that is here trying to get his career going again. Is this is this his opportunity to do that? So I think that's going to be sort of from a competition standpoint, one of the more interesting ones we've seen in training camp. It was similar last year when you had guys like, you know, Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson and a whole bunch of others, you know, trying to sort it out last year, and it's the same sort of thing this year. You know, how are these guys going to shape up, and who's going to take advantage of what's, you know, real opportunity there in terms of snaps and playing time in training camp in the preseason.
David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, David, what did Shane Bowen prove last year in terms of just a confidence level in him heading into this year with defensive coordinator? I mean, obviously, you look at the talent on the field and you're feeling pretty good about this Titans defense. But did you see Shane Bowen take enough steps last year where you're like, you feel great about the defensive side and the coaching heading into this year?
Yeah, I think he proved that he has a plan and that he has a vision for the defense. I think compared to 2020 when he and Mike Vrabel were operating it in some kind of hybrid, I think there was a much clearer sense of this is what the defense is doing each week. This is what the goal is on this particular Sunday. This is, you know, how to use guys in terms of blitzes and whatnot. I think it was much more consistent and much more effective in a lot of ways. So I think just from that perspective, and players talked about it too, that, you know, the one voice and he was much more confident in knowing that, you know, what he said was going to be the word of the day, the word of the week, whatever, the buck stopped with him. So I think that was the big thing, and then the fact that they had success has to make him feel really good in terms of not second guessing himself and you know what he wants to add this year or what he wants to tweak. He can kind of do so with confidence, knowing that, okay, you know, I can do this job, and certainly he has enough talent that it should make him look pretty good again this year.
Dave, are you expecting a deal for Simmons before training camp starts? Is that kind of what we're hearing, maybe?
Yeah, I do, Joe. It's out of character in that he has 2 years left on his current deal. But I think any deal they do with him, it'll probably be one that sort of tears up the 50-year option on the current deal. You know, gets him through this year, and it'll start with 2023 and some manageable salary cap numbers in the early part of that deal, and then see how it goes. I mean, he's just, I think we can all agree he is a he is just a unique talent. He is everything they kind of hoped he would be when they took the chance of drafting him, where they felt like he fell to them in the draft at number 19. There was way too good to pass up at that spot. And you know, when you see what Aaron Donald means to the LA Rams, when you think back to the Tennessee Titans in 2007, 2008, and remember what Albert Haynesworth, a dominant Albert Haynesworth, meant to this team and you know, putting almost the entire secondary in the Pro Bowl 1 year, all that. I mean, to have a guy like that up front, I mean, you don't play around with it. You don't let him go. It's always a sort of a risk. You know, are you paying for what a guy has done, or are you paying for what he's going to do? And in this case with Jeffrey Simmons, I think you're paying for both. The guy's already been really good, but there's no reason to think that he's not gonna continue to get better over the next couple of years. So it's a deal that you can make, and you can make with confidence.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. Let me ask you this. It's kind of a hypothetical now. Had A.J. Brown stayed here and been in the contract disputes, that, I think personally, David, that would have been a massive distraction for this football team going up even to game one if they had not gotten a deal done. I just think it would have been this huge thing, this problem. It would have been all the talk of training camp, and you know Vrabel and them do not like distractions. So your thoughts, had this not been traded, how bad could this have gotten for the team?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That, you know, one thing John Robinson – has shown as a general manager is, you know, he can admit mistakes, right? You know, like he cuts Darrington Evans, a third round pick, after 2 years, and you know, things like that. And I think, you know, when they got into the negotiations with A.J. Brown and they decided, you know what, you guys are not negotiating to get a deal done here. You're just negotiating to be able to say you negotiated. It's like, why, you know, we're not going to screw around with this. We're not going to let this be a story all year and then deal with it again after the season one way or another. It's like, if this is what you're thinking, fine. Go find a deal. Go find a team you can do a deal with. I'll make a trade. We'll make it happen, and we'll just move on. I think he is very decisive and very, you know, very good that way in terms of, you know, if a situation's over, a situation is over, and that was a situation that he deemed was over. So, you know, why? Yeah, to your point exactly. Why let it be an issue? Just you know, get what you can for him. And you think about it. You know, A.J. Brown was a second round draft pick. They got a first round pick, 18th overall for him. That, you know, that's in terms of asset management, right? That's value. You got more for that pick than you used on it initially. You got three really good years of football from him, so you feel good about all of that, and just say now we'll see what you get from Treylon Burks. But I think that was probably the right way to go about that, and you know, everybody in Titans land has been able to come to grips with it now and move on and look ahead to this season.
David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. David, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. David Beauclair from SI.com here on Robbie and Rextra. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant.
Ooh.
We'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You just insist on talking over great songs. I mean, it was Journey, now One Direction. Were you a big One Direction fan back in the day?
No.
Yeah, you were. Come on. I had to like him because my daughter loved him. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put down something that she thinks is the best thing in the world.
Sure.
So we enjoyed One Direction together. And if that makes me a bad dad, then so be it.
Well, you know, Michelle's a big fan of One Direction.
No, like super fan. Like one summer I went to like four or five concerts. I love them.
Yeah, my daughter has. She did a meet and greet and Harry kissed her on the cheek. And it just totally made it was so nice to her and everything. It was just
okay. Whole I'm new really respect. Jealous. I'm really jealous.
Whole new respect for Harry Styles, man. Whole new respect.
So you big now that he's gone solo, you big Harry Styles solo
I am.
Fan?
Yeah, good for him. I mean, it's just you see his concerts. I mean, he played one here in Bridgestone, then people lost their mind.
Oh, yeah.
But the way he was very kind to my daughter, really to another level.
There you go.
I'm excited, Robbie. What we got?
All right, so this has been something that has bothered me for a long time.
Ooh.
But recently, like a Geico commercial has brought this back to light. And then I started paying attention to it again, and I noticed it at Jurassic World, your favorite movie.
Worst movie of all time.
So the movie, we're sitting there. I watched Jurassic World with some friends at the IMAX theater at Opry Mills. So we're sitting there, we're watching this thing. And it ends, and it was horrible. But we watch it, it ends, and all of a sudden, like six rows behind us, there are like these people standing and applauding. They're just clapping. And, you know, the Geico commercial walking
it's
around
progressive.
Now. It's progressive. Yo, is it progressive?
Were they in the theater?
Yeah, it is progressive.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, hey, no one that made the movies here. It's like, I have never, for the life of me, understood.
Right.
Like, I've been to some really good movies. And some movies where I'm like, man, that was awesome.
Right.
I have never once gotten the inclination, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stand up and clap.
Start clapping,
I'm just going to start clapping in the movie theater where no actor is there. No director is there. Nobody that's ever had anything associated with the movie is there. But these people just start clapping in the movie theater. It's always been one of the weirdest things on the planet to me. I'm like, I get it. It's great that you like the movie.
Yeah.
But what are you clapping for?
Exactly. And I love the commercial too because he gently grabs her hand and basically whispers and says, no one who made the movie is here.
Yeah, no one's here.
I love that. And I've told it, it's like when they clap when an airplane lands.
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, he's just doing his job. The plane's going to land. Yeah. Great job. But that's a good one, too. There's a couple that irritate me. I do not know for the life of me why, when you guys are pumping gas, to feel the need to be on your cell phone.
Oh, man.
Isn't there some, like, a spark that can happen from your cell phone being that close to the gas? Could go, and you've seen the YouTube videos of all that. I mean, it takes a minute to pump that gas. Put the phone down. Just say, hey, man, I got to pump gas. Be right back.
Well, I'll add one to that. We were just talking about concerts. The people who are on their phone the whole concert, like recording the video.
Yes.
Like, if you want to take a, and I may have even ranted about this before, but if you want to take a quick video or whatever, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to listen to me. But, like, the people that I know people, I have been to concerts with people who it's like a 3-hour concert, and they've got 2 hours and 45 minutes of it recorded on their phone.
Right.
Like, just enjoy, just be present.
And then
just
they post on Facebook, moment. And it's distorted.
Yeah.
And it's blurry. And I'm like, what did you get out of this?
Sound good on the phone.
Right. Yeah. That's a great point. I got so many memories in my head of concerts I've gone to. I don't need to show you that I'm here. Fine. If you'll take a picture outside the arena before the concert, hey, big party night. But there were last week with the Motley Crue concert.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the entire Facebook was filled with all this pictures and videos. And one person, and I'm not going to name names, had a minute video of just focusing on the big screen. So there's Joe Elliott of Def Leppard singing, and I'm like, you paid all that money just to tape the big screen.
The screen.
You could have got that off YouTube at home doing all that. I totally agree with you. Another rant for mine is, and if I owned a restaurant and I had a buffet, and a guy comes in and gets on the buffet in a tank top, not allowed. Not allowed. All right. Now, females are beautiful and they smell good, so you're allowed to do that. But nasty men who come in working all day, do not get a chance to get on the buffet unless you have a shirt. Tank tops are not allowed.
But just put a shirt on.
Put a shirt on.
You're
going
to be at Joe Dubin's buffet. You put a shirt on.
You might as well walk in there with nothing on. That's just almost the same thing. Big Joe's buffet, you're going to wear a shirt if you're a man. You're going to have to wear not a tank top. It's not going to happen that way. I see, you know, me and my son are big fans of CC's Pizza, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, you want to know how I gained so much weight? Well, there you go. But yeah, I see guys coming all the time, and I'm like, I don't want to eat anymore. Maybe that's a good diversion for me to lose weight, is not see some guy with a tank top come in. But no tank tops allowed.
I will say, one of the things out of COVID that I was interested to see, like, I know people that view buffets totally different now. They're like, oh, wait. Like, people are gross. Like, there's people everywhere. And they're, you know, rummaging their hands through, like,
oh, gosh,
lettuce to put salad on their plate. I'm like, they got tongs for that, man. Just grab the tongs.
You just can't think about that. Yeah, you really,
like,
can't.
Oh, man.
And that's the thing. You're grabbing the handle to get your food out of there. You know, I'll usually wear the glove that's sitting up there. But as I go and just blow my arteries up with this fattening food instead of worried about how I'm grabbing the food out of the table, out of the buffet line. But yeah, you're not gonna wear a tank top for me. That's I draw the line right there. I'll put a big sign up there, like in Fast Times Ridgemont High. Yeah. You know, no shirt, no shoes, no service,
no dice.
I'll have that up there for those that come in there. But you get me going on rants all day long, man.
Well, I mean, I think we just went old man yelling at cloud for like three or four of those.
That's
fine. But that's cool. I'm totally cool with that. It's just I guess I had blocked out the clapping in the movie theater from my mind until this commercial started coming back. And then I was like, it's the first thing I noticed after Jurassic World was over. I mean, it's still dark in the movie theater. We're trying to navigate our way out. And all of a sudden, just applause from behind us. I'm like, first off, that movie sucked. So what are you clapping at? Secondly, why are you clapping in a theater?
Well, speaking of the theaters, I went and saw back in February. It was the 50th year anniversary for Godfather, the original Godfather. Mm-hmm. And they showed it in the theaters. And there were people that clapped in the movie there. And I was like, I'll allow it right now because it's a classic movie and you're seeing it in the theaters for the first time. But I think, speaking of theater, that's a great way to get some people back in theaters. Show those old, like, I would love to see Jaws in 4D.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to bring back those movies and bring them back at the price, like $5. I think that would drive
so many
people.
They keep trying to remake everything anyway.
Yeah.
And some of them end up in disaster. So just bring them back.
So I would love to see Jaws. And there's another movie, and I'm a big war movie guy, the movie Midway. I would love to see that movie in a theater, not the remake crap version they made, but the one they made back in the original, back in the early 70s. See something like that in a theater with the sound. I mean, they're going to get you on the concession prices anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We had like a Coke and popcorn, and I think I signed a second mortgage for that at the theater. So you're going to get your money, theater, get your money, but get butts in the seat. So do $5. But I would, to me, Jaws is a movie I would love to see in that setting, because I've only ever seen it on TV.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it in that kind of setting right there.
Fat Hog on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, when it first showed and Darth Vader saved Luke's life, people stood up and cheered in the theater. It was crazy.
That's good, yeah. Now, I saw Star Wars in the theater, so to me that's not one that I would like in this time and setting to go back and see. But some of those classics I would love to see, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'd love to see that in a big theater.
I mean, maybe I just don't have a soul, but like, have you ever had the inclination watching a movie in a theater to just be like, I'm standing up, this is it,
no.
I'm going for it. I don't get it.
Rocky movies would be tough. Especially Rocky III. That would be, when he beats Clubber Lang, that's... But I would not stand up.
And way yell. To go, Rocky! Good job!
Did you admonish these people, or did you...
I just looked. I was like, well, first off, they couldn't see me anyway. It was so dark in there, but I just looked. I was like, oh, so we got some clappers back here. All
right. But those
there's 12 of them, too. I mean, there's a significant number.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was... I would have loved to have seen that.
That's not the first time I've seen that. Like I've been a part of several viewing experiences. You know, Avengers comes to mind. Some of the Harry Potter movies comes to mind. Which, by the way, like a lot of these people, like if you're going to watch a Harry Potter movie, you know what happens going into the movie, presumably because you've read the book.
Oh,
so you're standing and cheering after that. I was like, okay. Cool.
That's so you'd forgotten all about it until you saw the Progressive commercial.
Yeah,
and then
I just totally,
you know,
it was out of my mind, I guess. And then I saw that commercial, and it was the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, they're clapping.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Great. I mean, for I've told you about my experience at Jurassic Park was one of the worst movies of all time. I couldn't stop laughing when people were getting eaten. And it was just to the point where this is so awful of a movie. Every time a dinosaur would eat somebody, I would just laugh nonstop. Nonstop in the theater, and I'm sure it irked people around me, but I didn't care because I hated the movie so much.
This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Row. Coming up next, we'll get you set for draft day for the Nashville Predators. Got the draft itself tonight, but an update on Philip Forsberg yesterday as well. We're getting down to crunch time, less than a week away before NHL free agency begins coming up on July 13th. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.